Hello, I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today that God's Word will speak to your heart, and you will be encouraged if you listen closely to what God's Word has to say. But first, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all my listeners. I ask that you touch them in a special way. And Lord, I know that we live in perilous times across our land, across the whole world today, but there's peace in you. Help my congregation to know that peace that surpasseth all understanding and only comes through you, Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there be one under the sound of my voice that's not born again, give them revelation knowledge that they know that they must be born again. And the only way into you, God the Father, is through your Son, Jesus Christ. For the only one that shed his blood on Calvary, the perfect one that shed the sinless one, that took our sins upon him and shed his blood, that we could be forgiven of our sins. And it's through the shedding of the blood that we have remission of sins. And thank you for the plan of salvation. Make it real to the people. Make them to know that they must be born again. Make them know, Lord, this is perilous times we're living in. Make them to know, Lord, to know they must be ready for the oncoming judgment that's coming across our land. And the way to be ready is not to be afraid or fearful, but to trust in you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And I pray this over my congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, I want to read verses 1 through 8. Chapter 6 in Isaiah, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it the serpents, each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the thongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. I want us to read that again. Isaiah said, Then said I, Here am I, send me. In this portion of scripture, in Isaiah's day, the government, you might say, had died. It was a troubling time in the nation. But God showed Isaiah a vision. He showed himself high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Great was the glory of God. Showed him of the serpents that praised him and worshipped him, and how great and mighty heaven and God's glory was. And when Isaiah saw this, he said, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. When we get a vision of God, we see how unclean we are. But God came and sent the live coal and touched him. And that live coal in our lives today represents Jesus Christ. That when we're touched by him, the fire that purifies us from sin is Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that when he comes, John the Baptist said he would baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's what happened to Isaiah. Then he said, the Lord spoke and said, who will we send to speak of our will across this land? And Isaiah, after he'd been touched by the coal of God, he said, Here am I, send me. And he lived in a generation, the Bible goes on to say, he lived in a generation where people's ears were heavy and their hearts were fat and dull, and their understanding was, they wouldn't comprehend the things of God. But God still loved them so much that he wanted to send someone to tell them what was coming, and someone to preach the word to them, and someone to give them hope. And Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. And Isaiah lived in a time that was evil and wicked, a time that people were looked like they were begging for God's judgment. And I want to ask you a question today. I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. I want to ask you, what if you lived in a generation that was evil? What if you lived in a generation that was haters of God and haters of His Son Jesus? It's astounding to me that atheists don't hate the Easter Bunny, that atheists don't hate Santa Claus, that atheists don't hate leprechauns. They hate Jesus. Because, see, leprechauns and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny is not real, but Jesus is. They hate the real thing. And what if you lived in a time where there was murders and persecutions of Christians and Jews? Just a few minutes ago, I come from the news where they had killed, I think it was 9 people in a church service in Charleston, South Carolina, who was praying. What if you lived in a time like that? You do live in a time like that. What if animals in slaughterhouses had more rights than the unborn babies in their mother's womb? What if you do live in that time? What if you lived in a generation that were lovers of the occult and put Satan worship in the government of their land? What if you lived in that time? Hey, you do. What if you lived in a time where they fed their children a daily dose of magic and witchcraft? Try watching cartoons one day with your kids, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You do now live in that generation. What if you lived in a generation of seekers of pleasure and material possession and worldly pleasures? You do live in that generation. What if you do live in a generation that was crouched in fear of their enemies and had no plan of defense? You do live in that generation. What if you lived in a generation where your enemies were big and powerful looking and they caused your nation to react in fear? You do live in that generation. What if you do live in a generation where many fell into sin and wondered their lots would be in life and wondered what was going to happen to them? You do live in that generation. What if you do live in a generation where life was required of your own faith in Jesus? You now live in that time. If you're a Christian, you're in danger of being killed. If you're a Christian, you're in danger of being beheaded. If you're a Jew, you're in danger of being killed. The message of the enemy of our soul and nation is kill all Jews and kill all Christians because they're infidels. What if you lived in a time where they said there are many ways to God? You do live in that time. That's the message of today. What if you do live in a time where sin is acceptable? You do live in that time. There's been 60 million babies aborted since the abortion rights came in. You do live in that time. What if you do live in a time where gay rights are killing Christian rights, and if you speak out against it or you don't cater to them, you'll lose all you got? You do live in that time. What if you live in a generation that is begging for God's judgment? You do live in that time. This is a serious time that we're in. You say, well, what can I do in a time, in a generation like we're living in now? What difference would it make if I went out and preached the word or helped someone preach or prayed for someone or did what I could for the glory of God? What difference would just me make? What if Isaiah had said that? Isaiah made a difference. He said, here, my Lord, send me. Even though I'm in a wicked and perverse generation, send me. I'll carry your word. What if Noah had said, I'm not going to build an ark? If he had done that, none of us would be sitting here today. And because one man, a preacher of righteousness, did right in a do-wrong world, followed God's plan, that we are spared because he did do right and did what God told him to do. He made a difference not only in his life and his family's life, but my life and your life. What if Abraham had not went out and sought for a land whose city and foundation, his builder and maker is God? We have a covenant through that one man, Abraham. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed coming out. We're in covenant relationship with our God who was taught through the covenant that God gave Abraham. Abraham made a difference in his family's life. And because of him, we're blessed today because he obeyed God. We're blessed today because Noah obeyed God. We're blessed today because Isaiah obeyed God. We're blessed coming in. We're blessed going out because of one man who stood for his faith and went back up. who wouldn't turn and go back in the world, but follow the leading of God. You make a difference. I come by to tell you, you make a difference. When you get up and get dressed and go to church, you make a difference because you're supporting that which the world is wanting to shut down and close up. When you carry your Bible to church, you're supporting God's work because they're wanting to take our Bibles away from us. They're wanting to rewrite it so it won't offend anybody. Hold on to your good old King James Version Bibles because one day they're going to be extinct and you're not going to be able to get them, and it's going to be against the law to have them. You think I'm crazy for saying that, but I'm telling you the truth. It's coming. You better be ready. Not long ago, I preached a message. It's either going to be fire in the churches, a fire of repentance and a turning back to God, or there's going to be fire in the streets. And we're seeing that today. We better wake up and do what we can, while there's still time. What if one mother wouldn't give her son to be murdered by the government, and that her son, Moses, rose and he chose to suffer the affliction of God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasure, greater than all the treasures in Egypt. And he led the one baby that the mama would not give into the government, the one mother that hid her child, led a whole nation from slavery into freedom, and gave us through that one child that stood up, one man that chose God, one man that made a difference. We have the written word of God that was given by God through him. While we can stand, one man made a difference. I'm telling you, you make a difference. Mama, when you put your children in a basket of faith and you won't give them over to the ways of the world and you'll teach them the ways of God, you're going to make a difference in this whole generation and in the generation of your children and what's the outcome of your children. You will make a difference. Moses rose up. He obeyed God. He did what God told him to, and he led his people out of bondage. I'm telling you right there where you're at. I don't care what situation you're in. You might be in a pit. You might be in a prison cell. You might be in the hospital bed, but I'm telling you, if you let God work through you, if you just let God use you, you will make a difference. You will make a difference. You will make a difference. You will change the lives of people. You may, Elijah, when he was walking down through that field, when Elisha was plowing with a yoke of oxen, he brushed him with the mantle of God. And Elisha dropped everything and ran after the man of God and then became Elijah's successor. And he did change the lives of the nation and many people because he did what God called him to. Joseph, when he was just a young lad, he was called of God, and he held on to his vision that God gave him. And no matter what he suffered, no matter what he went through, he held on to his belief in God, and he made a difference. The Bible says that he told his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and for me to save not your lives, but many lives, because God told me what to do of the coming judgment upon Egypt." He made a difference because he held on to God. And I'm telling you, don't let the devil talk you out of your blessing. You're going to make a difference. Right now, I'm sitting in a very small end of my mobile chapel, in my recording studio, and everything is just surrounded. I have a very small quarters, and I'm preaching my heart out to you. And the devil would say, "What are you doing that for?" But I know it's not what I've done. It's the word of God that comes through, and the stand that I make for Jesus. Somehow, some way, it's going to make a difference in somebody's life, because you see, the word will not come back void. What God sends it out to do, it's going to accomplish. Don't give up. Don't quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You make a difference. I have to think about the little shepherd boy that came down out of the sheep's pasture and did what his daddy told him to take lunch to his big warrior brothers and see how the war was going. And when he got down there and saw Goliath prancing back and forth, and the army of God was afraid. The whole army of God was afraid of one giant. The whole army of God was giving in to one threat of a big overgrown giant, and they was fearful of him. Well, look at our nation. nation today, they're fearful of a giant running back and forth, threatening, backed off into, our politicians are just like it was in the days of David. They're backed off in the bushes and do not know what to do. They're trying to buy their way out of it. They try and talk their way out of it, and they have no backbone. They have no plan. They don't know what to do. And out comes David, a shepherd boy, and looked at the king and said, I'll fight him because the battle is not mine. The battle is God's, and he'll give me the victory. God gave me the victory over a bear, over a lion, and this old Goliath, this giant, is no more than they are. There's one day there's going to come some Davids out of the pasture, and they're going to have a stone in their hand. It's not going to be one they picked up out of a riverbed. It's going to be the stone which the builders rejected, which is Jesus Christ, and it's going to be big enough to do the job. Somebody's going to come out with a backbone and stand against the giants that's trying to put down God's army, and they're going to stand in faith knowing the battle is not their battle. The battle is God's battle. And David told them that day, he said, this day the whole earth will know there's a God in Israel. And I come to proclaim to tell you that the earth will know there's a God in America. There's a God in this land, because the battle is not our battle, it's God's battle. But somebody has got to go stand and declare it and make the stand. Will you go? We don't want to be disrupted. We don't want anything to inconvenience us. We would get all upset if the communists came in or the socialists come in and want to shut our churches down, and you better wake up, they're trying to do it now anyway. But what's the difference in them shutting it down and you never showing up? The preacher can't count on you. They don't know from what month to month you're going to show up. They don't know you might come 2 Sundays in a row, 3 Sundays in a row, and 4, you won't be found. You're not faithful. Can't nobody count on you. What are you going to do when judgment rolls in? The way you serve God is going to determine how you go through it. What if God treated you the way you treated him? What if God showed up the way you showed up at his house or to support his work? You'd be in an awful fix. I heard a sermon my son preached one time, and I love the title of it. We got part-time Christians wanting to serve a full-time God. It's not going to work. You got to be full-time for God. You better make up your mind. I'm talking to some Sunday school teachers, deacons. I'm talking to 2 church members. You're lazy. You're ungrateful. You don't appreciate the work of God. You think everything has to revolve around you. You better get yourself up, get yourself in the house of God, and do right, because one day that might be taken from you, and you might not be allowed to go, and then what will happen? Wake up! Do what God has called you to do. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You make a difference. You're needed in the house of God. You're needed in the work of God. What if you fail to support that missionary you promised to support? Or that radio program you could be helping, you're not helping. Or that TV program you could be helping, and you won't help. See, we got people that just want to gleam in the blessings, but they don't want to put out nothing to keep the blessings coming in. That's the way America is. We got 47% people today on food stamps. One day, if you keep putting it out and not putting it back in, does it take a brain, a scientist, a genius to figure that one out? If you keep taking out, and can't put nothing back in, guess what? You're going to wake up one day and the bag is going to be empty. But if you put back in the storehouse, he said, bring in your tithes and your offerings, so that the storehouse will be filled, that God's word can go forth. There's people today that need to hear the word of God and salvation. You need to be praying for them. You say, I don't have any money to send. Well, send prayer. Everybody needs to send prayer. That's the greatest tool you have, is praying. Go and do. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I want to go. You know, 36 years my husband and I lived in truck stops. 36 years in a truck stop. It wasn't always convenient. For 36 years that we wasn't home for Christmas. 35 years we wasn't home for Thanksgiving. And the only reason we was home that one Thanksgiving, our truck broke down. We had to repair it before we could get out of the yard. It wasn't always convenient living in truck stops in the back of a semi-trailer. It wasn't always convenient every time you wanted to shower, you had to go to the truck stop. It wasn't convenient of moving every week and every 2 weeks, going coast to coast, living in truck stops, living on the backside of the truck stop lot. But that's where our heart were. That's where our joy was. That's where we saw souls saved. That was our calling. And if you'll do what God has called you to do, you'll be happy and do it and be blessed in it. That's the reason some of you are so miserable. You're not doing what God's called you to do. You don't get joy until you do what God's called you to do and do it with gladness in your heart. Not begrudging. God doesn't begrudge you when He blesses you. He wants to bless you. Why do you begrudge Him when He asks you to do something? One time I had some women come to me and tell me, said, we want to help in the Sunday school. What can I do? I said, well, how about making the drinks for the kids so after Sunday school the teachers can give them a little treat and something to drink. And for two Sundays, I could count on them. They were there. They served the drinks. And third, fourth Sunday, they didn't show up. Couldn't even count on them to give drinks into the Sunday school, to the Sunday school kids. What, can God count on you for anything? I want to ask you that. Can God count on you? Or are you just counting on Him all the time? Hey, that's a two-way street. He said, Blonnie, what do you want me to do? What does God want me to do? In Phoenix, Arizona, at a truck stop called the Roadrunner Truck Stop, we was on the back of a lot. And at that time, that was a pretty rough truck stop. We were having chapel services in our mobile chapel at the back of the lot. And as my husband stood to preach the word of God, a truck driver stood up in the back and he said, Preacher, he said, I've got a message that God wants to give to you. Can I deliver it? My husband said, of course. Please tell me. He said, God said this, go where I send you, stay where I put you, and give them what you got. And that's Jesus. And that's what God is telling you right now. Go where God sends you. He'll make it plain to you. Stay where He puts you. That means be faithful to stay there and do what He called you to do. And give them what you got. And that's Jesus. You say, well, I just don't have much. What is that among so many? That's what they said about the little boy's lunch when he come up with the 5,000 men and then the women and the children. They said, what is this among so many? But they put that lunch, 2 fish and 5 small barley loaves, in the hands of Jesus. And when it was put in the hands of Jesus, that little boy, who they didn't even call his name, just called him a lad, didn't give his name. But it was enough to do the job, because anything that's put in the Master's hands will reach the multitude. That's your message today. Get up and do what God has called you to do. Put your lunch in the Master's hand, and it'll be big enough to bless the multitudes. Here am I. Send me. Pray that prayer right now, Lord, and pray, Lord, send me. Just, Lord, here I am. Send me. Pray that prayer right now and mean it with your whole heart. And whatever God tells you to do, do it, and you will make a difference. Let me tell you, still running on that today. 40 years, my husband's been gone 4 years now, and I'm still running on that message that truck driver gave. Go where I send you, stay where I put you, and give them what you got. And since the passing of my husband, I don't take the mobile chapel out on the road, but now I do it through the TV. I have 10 broadcasts a week that I'm responsible for. I have 3 TV broadcasts. And I have 7 radio broadcasts across the country. I'm doing what I can. I'm preaching revivals. I'm going into teachings. I'm going to meetings. I've actually tripled the miles since my husband passed away. But let me tell you, just me, but I'm doing what God tells me to do. If a door's open, I go in it. Go where God sends you. Stay where God puts you. And give Him what you got. And that's Jesus. You can do that. It might just be brushing a little child and telling Jesus loves you. I went in a nursing home. Me and my husband used to preach in a nursing home before we went out on the mobile chapel. We went into a lot of nursing homes and preached before we went in Trucking for Jesus ministry. And there was a woman in a nursing home that she just sat in the chair. You try to talk to her, but she wasn't there. She just looked like she couldn't comprehend anything. She didn't carry on any conversation. And I prayed one day. I said, Lord, this woman, she can't react to anything, and she can't talk, and she just sits there. What do you want me to do with her or for her? And this is what God said to me. He said, just brush her in my name. Just brush her. Just touch her in my name, and I'll do the rest. You can do that today. You can go out and just touch somebody in the name of Jesus. You can touch a widow woman today. You can teach a little child today. You can brush a prisoner today. You can brush somebody with the love of God. You can do it today, and you'll make a change in their life. How many times have you wanted just an encouraging word? How many times have you longed for somebody to just call you up and say, hey, I was thinking about you today, I'm praying for you? Or how many times have somebody just gave you a little flower? My little great-grandson went out in the yard the other day and picked a little flower, a wildflower in the yard, and he said, here, Nan, that was greater than any bouquet I've ever received. It's not the amount, it's the love behind it that counts. Let me say that again. It's not the amount, it's the love behind it that counts. That's a good saying. You need to write that down. It's not the amount, it's the love behind it that counts. And I'm talking about God's love, because he said, my love will never fail. God's love won't fail. Go where I send you. Stay where I put you. And give them what you got. And that's Jesus. That's the message for you today. Get up and do the will of God. And you start. You've got to hear the word of God. You've got to pray. You've got to hear the word of God. And you've got to be faithful to assemble yourself with other believers, because there's accountability in assembling with believers. You must know that. You must walk in that. And today, by faith, I can't see your face, but I feel there's some people out there that is so hurting, so in need. I just want you right now to picture in the name of Jesus. I want to brush you with the mantle of God and tell you it's going to be all right. Jesus is going to take care of it. Just rest in peace in him. He'll bring you joy. He'll show you the way out. He'll make a way for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. It's not the amount. It's the love behind it that counts. God bless you today. Be faithful to do what God has called you to do. And remember what Isaiah said. Here am I, Lord. Send me. You do make a difference. You do count. It does make a difference in what you do for Jesus. It will change the course. If we all work together, we can see a change in our nation. We can see blessings come back on America. We can see a change in our neighborhood. We can see a change in our family. But it starts with us. Everybody wants to have a revival, and they want somebody to bring it. But let me tell you, revival has to start in your heart and my heart, and it has to start today. Ask God to give you that revival. Write me, and I'll pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me. Visit my website, truckingforjesus.org, and keep on praying that God will use us to spread the gospel across our great land. Thank you for tuning in. Have a marvelous day in Jesus.